Okay.
Is it working?
I think so.
Just 1 minute.
We'll try it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going.
Can you hear me? Is it working?
Well, I'll take notes. Just in case. It's running, but I'm not sure.
All right. Okay. Well, with that, I will call the Monday, July 9th, 2012 Planning Commission meeting to order. Kim, if you could take the roll, please.
Chairman Lutz.
I'm here.
Commissioner Demarest.
Here.
Commissioner Christensen.
Present.
Commissioner Rodland.
Here.
Commissioner Sherwood.
Here.
Commissioner Tuttle.
Here.
Thank you. This is the time where we take comments from citizens. Is there anybody in the audience wishing to address the Planning Commission on anything that is not on tonight's agenda? Seeing no hands, I will move on. Approval of minutes. We have March 26, 2012 minutes in front of us. Commissioners, any comments or revisions?
Be happy to make a motion to approve it as written.
Second. I have a motion by Commissioner Demarest, seconded by Commissioner Rodland. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All right. So we have our workshop this evening. Tonight, I believe our workshop is the amending comprehensive plan amendment procedures. Is that right? We're talking about the
we didn't actually call it a workshop. Could have called it
a more of a discussion, I guess, isn't it?
Discussion.
All right. Well, I will go ahead and turn that over to you. I'm assuming you have kind of a introduction for this.
Yeah, I can give a little bit of background. This is being proposed as a change of the procedure and process for the comprehensive plan docket, the yearly submittal and docket cycle. Those applications are due the last Friday in July. Actually, to date, I don't think we've heard of any, at least citizen amendments coming in for this year. But as you know, following that, it goes into the docket process. Right now, the staff begins review and analysis. The commission considers the items that are submitted and whether they should be considered for the docket for 2013 and further consideration, and makes recommendations to council who decide, make the final decision on what will be considered next year. This proposal, you have a copy of the resolution which modifies the existing resolution from 2006, I believe it is, about the actual process. Basically what it does is takes the Planning Commission out of the docketing process. That in this case, the staff does the review and so forth and goes directly to City Council, who make the decision on what should or should not be docketed. It only comes back to the Planning Commission after Council has made the docketing decisions. This is the way I understand it, this is being done for the purpose of saving time, greater efficiency in the process, reducing staff time that's required for the docketing process, review procedure, and so forth. This is going to council tomorrow night for discussion and is scheduled right now for final action next week on July 17th. So the purpose of tonight is to have the commission engage in some discussion about this, come to some consensus about what your thoughts are, and if the commission wanted to make some sort of formal response to this to the council. And I think it might be very useful to attend the council meeting tomorrow night. We did, for the record, notice the possibility of a quorum tomorrow night for the planning commission. In the cover sheet, I did note what the duties of the commission are now, as it is today, with a couple of comments. And that involves amendments to the comp plan, amendments to the building code, which is what subdivision, environmental, and the actual bulk zoning codes, rezonings, changing the zoning district, and anything else basically that's directed by council. So my personal opinion is that I still view the docketing process as an essential step in the comp plan amendment process. Now this idea has some merit in some ways, but the issue is whether the planning commission should stay involved in the considering items for the docket. We did check some other jurisdictions, and we stopped after eight. It's a very similar process and very similar duties in every jurisdiction. And we checked several in this immediate area and a couple of jurisdictions farther south. But the standard process is as we have it today. As I say, this is being done to create more efficiency, basically. So I'd like to throw open to some discussion and see what the pleasure of the commission is as we move forward.
Great. Thank you. I would like to have a discussion beforehand. I think I'd like to see if there's any questions for Paul. Anybody have any questions?
Jeff? What precipitated this?
That I can't answer. This came up maybe a couple of months ago as an idea. My response was not a good idea, but it has come back to life and is obviously taking us away and going to council.
Who created the red line document?
Brad created the modified resolution.
Commissioners, any other questions? Dave?
Paul, you said you talked to how many municipalities or different entities?
Yes.
Eight. And I know you and I talked a little bit about Snohomish County and what their process is, and they have an altogether different process from it seems from ours, either as it now stands or as proposed. From what I can see from their docking process assistance bulletin, I guess I'm just wondering as to the why. I look at the resolution that's proposed, and it says in here that expedited review of comprehensive plan amendment to stimulate economic development within the city of Monroe while still ensuring early and continuous public participation. And yet I look at the timelines on both the original and the proposed, and they end up at the same time. They start at the same time, they end up at the same time. So I'm not sure that I see how it's expedited. Can you or perhaps Mr. Sachs elaborate on that a little bit?
I don't really have any comment to offer on it because I'm not positioned to. Well, I'm not supporting this, but I haven't been involved in the development of the space here. But if there are, if there are points to be made, then we should track these, and it would be appropriate for one or more of you to make some points to the council tomorrow, not in an adversarial way, but to discuss the pluses and minuses of this kind of proposal. What it means to this commission or to the process.
Mr. Sachs, are you willing to comment on how it's going to stimulate economic development?
Well, my input into this happened about 6 months ago, actually, and it was more the clumsy nature of the code, and it kind of got started rewrote, got rid of some of the ambiguity in it, some of the errors in discussion, but in the end, all docket action is our legislative actions. And what council and the mayor, I think, are looking at is not only do they want to be able to, the final decision being the council, but they want to be the ones to make the decision on what docket requests move forward. So that's, I think, the critical difference in what has been changed the way I read it, is the Planning Commission still has a role. The Planning Commission still reviews all the documents, still has public hearings, but that only happens after the docket has been established. Where in the past, the Planning Commission has sometimes taken a torturous path to get to the recommendations, and once those recommendations are made by the Planning Commission, it constrains the amount of time council has to act. So I think that it actually opens up more of a deliberative process by doing that. The County Council actually does it the same way, although the description of how they do it online is different. But the County Council takes a very, very strong approach. No planning staff goes through and influences anybody until after the council has selected which projects are going to move forward on the dock. So it also allows staff to not utilize resources prior to the establishment of the dock. There's no staff report until council has made those decisions.
Thank you.
Commissioners, any other questions?
I just have a comment on one of the things I noticed on here on the schedule. On the red line, part where it says November, and then things are crossed out to get down to where it was January, March. And it says staff presents the various amendment applications and analysis to the Planning Commission at a public hearing. And reading backwards from before that, it sounded to me like that's the first time we hear about it, is at a public hearing, which is, that bothers me a little bit, to be under the gun when you have a public hearing. So I didn't like that part of it at all.
Right. I do want to go into some discussion. Is there any other questions before we kind of go into, because I have a couple actually. Commissioner Brown?
Yes. The only thing I found in here is on the review criteria on the red section, page 9 of 11, it's recommend approval or approval. I think it should be approval or disapproval. Some of them.
It's an approval with modifications.
Oh. All right. One question I did have was if City Council, it sounds like staff initiated this. Has City Council been involved in this yet, or is tomorrow going to be their first exposure? And or the mayor, has there been any discussion regarding this change?
Tomorrow is the first discussion at council level, the group. I couldn't tell you what other discussion may have taken place over the last few months on an informal interaction.
Right, thank you. Dave?
I'd like to follow up on Bill's question with regard to the timeline. And I'm looking at the line in the middle of the page where January, March was struck, but the text has been modified, and it says that the various amendment applications with analysis we presented the Planning Commission at a public hearing. And then the section below that talks about us reviewing amendment applications, developing necessary plan amendments, and then in April we will go to a public hearing. Is that just something, need some wordsmithing in there?
Actually, I was struggling a little bit with this section earlier today. September, October, the staff begins review of the proposed plan amendments to be docketed. And I'm a little, don't quite understand what's happening with this section here, but I think we need some clarity on just what this means. Is the next step after the staff review, and if I read this correctly, that staff brings these applications to the commission at a public hearing. Now, what I'm thinking is that is in the spirit of this proposal, it should be the council holding a public hearing for the projects to be documented.
But they're doing that in August.
Yeah. They do that in August, and then the Planning Commission receives the documents at a public hearing. You may hold multiple public hearings on the different docket requests as time goes along. But that's when, I guess, the handoff happens, is when staff is complete with their analysis, and that typically would happen in November.
So the process would start with a public hearing, which in a way makes it a formal public hearing to solicit comment from the public on those amendments that have been documented. And then the commission proceeds to have any number of meetings to discuss each of those amendments with additional public hearing or hearings as decided. So it modifies that very, you know, once the amendments are docketed, it modifies that process, tweaks it to have a public hearing right at the beginning. Now, at the commission, it's a formal public hearing for the record. At the commission, of course, comments are always, you know, welcome from audience members, but it's not a formal legal hearing when those comments are taken. So they don't carry the weight of record, let's say, in an eventual appeal process.
If I may jump in here, if it's informal, I would think that the staff presents the various amendments application. Let's see. I would say at a workshop then, if it's not going to be binding, and that's to me would seem appropriate, unless we're going to make it a public hearing, you would think it would be some official documents that would be, or official comments from citizens that would be attached to each one, and they could give, that's kind of their first shot at giving their opinions. But in my mind, those comments could be lost over time, I guess. Maybe not, but anyway, sorry, I didn't cut you off.
That's right, quite all right. But I think what Paul, you're trying to say, and what Brad is trying to say is, the Planning Commission begins their comp plan docket review process with a formal hearing to gather comment.
Right.
Out of that public hearing comes no action. We close the public hearing, we move into analysis, discussion with staff, workshops, etc., and then we close our involvement there with another public hearing, at which time we can make additional comment, and then formulate a recommendation and council on the various docket items.
Correct. That's the way I read it as well. And when I first read it, it threw me off a bit. But
yeah, I don't think that's what this says, if you excuse me, but I think this is not clear. It's clear as mud.
And I think if you read the clean version, it reads better. That's for sure. The public hearing also facilitates two things, I think, specifically. Not so much, it's a formal way for the applicant to present their proposal at a public hearing rather than at a workshop. The applicants for each citizen-initiated docket request would then be on the record. It would be a legally binding part of the record as a board, and that would be the first opportunity for the applicant to support. I don't imagine that they would, you know, fight against themselves, so it would probably support their application and present the information, add any additional information that that they may feel is important at that time, and then work through the process and close it out with a public hearing once it had been properly vetted through workshops and whatnot.
Mr. Chairman, in a way, it does make some sense that first public hearing with council is about docketing based on criteria for docketing the amendment. The second public hearing to be held, and that's the one before the commission in, what was it?
September, October?
It's kind of undefined.
Where'd it go?
Probably December. That's really not there.
Where'd it go?
Well, it starts in November. Talk about.
Okay, November. At the November public hearing, that is a hearing to solicit comment based on analysis of the amendment with different criteria. Not to docket it, but to consider the project for actually amending the comp plan. Not whether it should be thought about and put on the docket, but a different set of criteria. You know, is it consistent? Does it meet secret requirements? So on and so forth. It's different from the criteria considered for whether it should even be docketed. So there's two different things there. So in that way, it does make sense to me.
Well, I guess this is all. Because the way I see it, in August, the city council chooses the schedule, and in my interpretation of what I'm reading here, it is then set in stone what the docket is.
Correct.
So then in September, October, city staff begins to review analysis and evaluations of the docketed amendment proposals, not of the docketing of it.
Correct. It's,
the docketing's done.
Correct.
So it does appear that in August, the council holds a public hearing, chooses what the docket's going to be, and then that's done. So,
right.
Planning so commission is not part of the docketing process.
The commission does not get involved with the docketing criteria. The commission would remain involved in the amendment, approving an amendment based on the criteria that we have.
So,
different animal.
If I may, September, October, what would the planning commission be doing? I see what staff is going to be doing. They're going to be reviewing and analyzing and evaluating the docketed amendment proposals. Are there going to be workshops then for us on that docket? Is that how that works?
No. There could be. You know, it depends on the projects. It depends on how much work we have and how long it takes staff to prepare the staff level analysis, and you know there could certainly be updates and so forth through that process, but it's I think what this seems to be working toward is staff really packages the information together and brings it forward, at least in the formal public hearing, as a complete package of analysis for consideration. That's when we start the discussion and amending and modifying and so forth, rather than bringing in projects in piecemeal for consideration of just one small part of each one. But that's not to say that there couldn't be continuing updates about where these are and what sort of things we're beginning to find. This has a lot of steps, and it's not perfectly clear as to what each step is. But then this is not a linear process. It's hard to define exactly what the content of each step is in just a short paragraph.
Yeah, because I see in November that it seems to me that public hearing is redundant. I mean, they're commenting, the citizens will be able to comment at that public hearing on the docketed items, but yet we're not really taking any action, and we're not going to go into, I don't think, any extensive detail. That happens in December when we start to really go through each application and start. I mean, to me, it seems like it's almost a after the fact part two of what the council did. The council's already made the docket.
That's really what the crux of this is. In the past, the Planning Commission has taken and analyzed these things, the staff at times, for good or bad, delay the process up until March, April, May before recommendations ever made as to what is going to be on the docket. And that puts council in a position where they have to make the analysis. They have to be done by the end of the calendar year. So once the Planning Commission has established the docket, then finally a staff report erupts. And then Planning Commission reviews that, and we debate that over and over and over. And who knows when the Planning Commission might be done with their work. So a lot of this has to do with calendaring the process to give some sense of assurity as to what's going on. The other thing is the council is the legislative body, and they should determine which projects move forward and which ones don't. And they're looking at it based on the merits of the application, not based on... In establishing the docket is not a decision on whether to approve or deny the application. It's just, does the application have merit? Was it legally submitted? And does council desire moving that project forward? So it takes a lot of the uncertainty out of the process for the applicant, for sure, by doing it this way. Council has established the docket. Staff knows that council is going to vote on that project at the end of the process, and staff can go to work on the staff report. What I particularly like is staff reports are going to be due to the Planning Commission in November. In this current docket cycle, we didn't have staff report, as you are well aware, until 3 days before the final action was taken. And that's wrong, truth be told. And for whatever reason, that's the way it came about. And so, in tightening it up like this, it puts a calendar and a schedule on all parties involved to take action on the applicant's application, which is a land use application. And we are required, once the council has established that, to process that with due process. So I like what's written here. First, it puts the political decision on the council at the beginning, puts the political decision on the council at the end, and it allows the Planning Commission, I think, and staff to analyze the process without having to worry about the politics of whether or not the proposal is even going to make it to council. And it saves a lot of energy, I think, in the process.
Great, and I apologize for dominating. I got one more question, and I agree they are the body that makes a decision, and I'm perfectly okay with. Personally, to be honest with you, I'm perfectly okay not being involved in the docketing process. I always viewed it as a way to save council time by not having to have a public hearing themselves. We do that, we get this, and we make a recommendation. But if it's going to work better in the process to change it, I'm cool with it. I guess my question is, and it's not meant to be rhetorical, I truly don't understand. I'm sure there's a good reason for it, but to me, this public hearing in November seems to kind of slow down the process, and I'm questioning, not to be negative, but I'm just not sure what the value of that public hearing is instead of just let's roll up our sleeves and jump in November and start hammering it out.
That's exactly what it is for. At that time, nobody will have seen the staff report. The public will not have seen it. The applicant will not have seen it. The Planning Commission will not have seen it. So it'll be a full staff report. That at that point, the applicant hasn't had the opportunity to defend their proposal. At that point, the public in general, somebody that may not like the proposal, will have an opportunity to weigh in on the project. Listen to the staff report, listen to the applicant's presentation, and actually understand the process and offer comment at that point. And then the dirty work really begins, the hard work, and that's going through each project, you know, piece by piece. And for instance, in the East Mineral proposal, we changed comprehensive plan language, text language, in order to accommodate the change that the application had been made. And this allows for a very deliberative process to go through, and the commission can ask the question, okay, if this was to go through, where are the inconsistencies with the rest of the plan? And are there inconsistencies? And we recommend that council, we support this process or we don't support this proposal. If we do support it, we recommend you change this text through here and you modify the map as part of your decision. The application may not have anticipated that. If somebody, you know, an amateur came in and they're perfectly eligible to do a very amateur application, might not know that. And so that's, I think, the, you know, that's the hard work of the Planning Commission to go through and do that analysis work and compare it to what exists in the existing plan and how does that new docket request fit into that, or how do we tailor it so that it does fit it, or how do we not tailor it to deny it if that's your recommendation.
And that's not at that necessarily that November meeting, it would be later.
It'll be later.
Got it. Okay. I just want to make sure I get a full grasp of that November meeting and understand the purpose, and you went into detail. I appreciate that. Commissioners? Jeff?
In this schedule, if the applications are due the last working day in July, and then staff presents whatever proposals come in to the City Council in August, is that attendant with any staff analysis?
No.
It just, this is what's come in?
This is what's come in.
It is up to the council to say, this one's in, this one's out, this one's in, this one's out.
That's correct.
Okay. Dave?
And that leads to where, as I've been listening to you talk, others' comments, it's not our job to look out for council. They're big boys,
right,
girls. They can do that themselves. But it seems to me that what this is effectively doing is minimizing and perhaps marginalizing the docketing process. If someone makes a complete application, in my mind, the council would be more inclined to run it through the docket than to say no at that point, which is going to burden staff with the process of having to complete the entire process on each and every complete application that came in potentially. Whereas in the past, or currently, we have the opportunity, the Planning Commission gets to, with staff, work on it, come up with some general ideas, suggestions, and comments for council then to use in a decision-making process as to whether they want to go forward with that item or not that item. It, in many ways, I think you said something about a political process. It turns it into a purely political process, documenting that.
Well, purely legislative, political.
Synonymous, perhaps.
Sure.
And with the outcome perhaps being a much greater amount of work for staff.
It very well could.
Back to a comment that Jeff made. This August action by council to consider the docket, that will have to include a staff analysis, staff report, then reports on the criteria to be considered for docketing an amendment. That's at page 5 and 6. It advances the council's vision, goals and policies of the comp plan. It's consistent with the GMA.
But wouldn't that likely just be a one-line sentence from staff saying this meets all criteria for docketing?
Actually, if it's a complete application, that's all it would have to say.
That's right.
It wouldn't. There is no, and I disagree with Paul in this case, staff would not go deeply into these applications. They would simply be presented to council as is. It would be the applicant's responsibility to defend their position in front of council. It wouldn't be staff's position.
Staff only determination would be one of
completeness. Completeness, that's correct. The check has been written, the check has been cashed, everything has been, it's been accepted as complete in City Hall. Council makes the decision on whether it's worthy of proceeding onto the docket. That's not the docketing process, but onto the docket. Once it's onto the docket, then it's very similar to what we have done in the past.
I think it's going to take more discussion.
I completely disagree with you on that, Paul, and I would defend your position as the guy that's going to have to write a lot of these reports. So I would say that no, council doesn't get a big report at that stage of the game.
No, I don't see it as an involved, detailed report, but some very initial analysis of whether the applicant's information is complete and whether it is whether it is meaningful. You know, is it in a initial reaction? Is it consistent with the complaint? Or are there? If it's not, are there, you know, some major inconsistencies that that would need to be addressed in the amendment process. But it really all depends on the quality of the application. It's everything from woefully incomplete to very complete and well done. A lot will hinge on that initial application.
Jeff?
So if someone comes in with a dubious proposal, their only defense of their proposal would be in August for the city council during the public hearing. If the council, you know, if the feel was they were taking a dim view of a proposal, that would be the applicant's first line of defense. Is that correct?
That's the way I would understand it. And these are valid points that should be brought up to council tomorrow. Is that wrong or right? Should there be a more thorough staff report? But the way it's written now, it's no. The application is deemed complete according to the process where we receive the application across the counter. That's what goes to council.
I, for one thing, it would be awful difficult for the council to make a decision docking without something from staff is saying, these are our thoughts and suggestions. I think the fallback may be, well, let's move it into the process. And then we all will pay the price, we all being staff and planning commission, will pay the price of having to deal with a larger number of docketed items.
It could turn out that way. Could turn out just the opposite.
Yeah, I don't have any personal interest in being part of the docketing process, but I can't speak for the council, but I know for myself, I appreciate when staff, I don't work at a city. You know, I do some involvement with permits at times, but I appreciate their analysis and their input. And I appreciate other commissioners' input and their experience. When making a decision, I kind of rely on getting my points of view. And again, this is something that the council's got to decide on. My concern is maybe they wouldn't have everything that would help them make a better decision for that. So,
but again, it's only to open the starting gate. I mean, council, by the time this process is done, this process will be completely vetted, and they will have a very deliberative process that they can then say yes or no. And I'll tell you, any council member that goes through that process once or twice and gets to the end of the road and sees one of these docket proposals blow up in their face, they're going to be a lot more deliberative the following August when they decide to put something similar on the docket the next time around. So, you know, some of it's an education process for the council. They have to understand what they're voting on and have some experience with that.
This can put quite a load on the council and their workload. This could be a lot more work. And when things get real busy, this could be a real hindrance to them. But they get the public hearing first.
Now, this may deserve, at the very least, be worthy of some kind of a test. You know, if these changes are adopted, see how the process works and iron out the kinks. But this may not be a good year to give anything much of a test, since there may not be any private amendments or proposals. Our other item on the agenda is the possibility for other amendments to be brought forth by the city or through the commission or from the council.
That would be a good recommendation.
To test them?
Yes.
Jeff?
Since procrastination is a well-honed art of those who typically make these proposals, if they came in the last business day of August, and put cash on the counter, end up waiting to check here or anything. And the next business day in August, Paul takes a look at this thing, and it's just woefully incomplete. Does that put them off another year? I mean, if it isn't,
well,
you get the money back, and maybe they don't even get the money back. But
I don't know how that comes across the counter and how that is a stamped accepted when they submit it, or is it accepted when it's complete?
It's taken in, and then we have how long, Kim, for notice of completeness? Up to 7 days?
7 days, but actually...
We have a period of time. I think 7 days is the official version, but within a couple of days, typically, we would issue a notice of complete, a letter of completeness. The application is complete, we will take it up. Theoretically, if someone submits a package for the docket or for building permit, whatever it may be, if it's not complete, if it's, especially if it's woefully complete, then the staff should be sending it back and saying, here, fix this. You know, here's what you're missing. Get that information and bring it back, and then we'll run it through the process. That's much more efficient than doing half of the project and having to go back and forth several times. Now, in terms of the docket.
Who judges the completeness of these applications?
The staff. In the case of, well, primarily Kim,
so that's,
but also the supporting staff. I mean, is the application complete? And it's not an in-depth analysis. It's a, you know, is this item here, is this item here, is this item here, according to the checklist. And if they're there, you know, Kim doesn't try and judge the quality of the design or the quality of the content. They may be totally wrong. But if the plan is there, then it's complete for an application.
Dave?
Would that be words on the top of the page four there, the last working day of July? We inserted the deadline for public submittals in some way, wordsmith in, accepted in for completeness by the last day of July? Well, is that a better way to go about it? I don't, it's a chicken or the egg type of thing. If somebody submits and they've left, they didn't sign something, they forgot to sign the bottom of their check or something, wasn't complete, and it's August 4th, does that put the citizen in a position where they can't apply for another year? Maybe we want to modify that so that applications must be deemed complete by the last day of July. And that puts some pressure back on staff again. If somebody comes in and submits on the 28th, we give the bearer of bad news that you might not make it.
I'm not sure what is in what state law mandates if it sets up that date in.
I don't think it's established
or if it's a local choice. I'm not sure. But that is a hard and fast deadline. If you submit on the first Monday in August, you're too late. You have to come back next year, a year later. The city can initiate an amendment anytime, but a citizen could not bring that amendment
to. I just think it would be practical to have a little fluff in there, you know, in case there is some detail that's been overlooked. Because it seems rather anal to, you know, make somebody wait another year if their signature is not on the check or whatever detail it would be.
I think it's more related to the content of the application. It's not things like, oh, you didn't check this box or you didn't sign the check, but does the application have the complete information? Is it a viable, legitimate submittal? We're not going to throw it out on the basis of a technicality.
Sounds like you guys have got a little bit of cushion built in, maybe, that you can accommodate. I don't know. I mean, it's got to be in by the end of July. You guys are putting a deal in August. You have a few. I don't know if you're doing it at the end of August, but anyway, something to consider. Dave?
Does staff have a checklist for determining whether the docket application, the application of docketing is complete? So really, if the staff checks that list off and it's complete, it's complete. Whether it's woeful in other ways, woeful. In other words,
it's a good description.
In other ways, or not, it's going to go, if it's complete as determined by staff, it's going to go to council the second week in, second meeting in August. End of story. No further comment from staff. No analysis.
Swear, read it.
Let me throw this out there, I guess.
Example of an incomplete application. There's six questions, and I, the applicant, only answered one. That's incomplete. I mean, that's obvious. And if that was brought in on the last day of July, I don't know if we would have any choice but to say, this isn't even close.
And Kim would make that determination?
Well, I don't think she would do it all by herself, but without some advice. Yes.
31st of July.
It's going to go out, but yeah, I would
know,
accept
if you're supposed to answer one through six, you only answer number one. Whether you answer it truthfully or if it's just, you know, total nonsense. But if I answer those six questions, then the application is complete. So we're not judging it on the quality of the responses. We have to judge the completeness on whether there is a response there or whether there is a floor plan there.
And that's the challenge I see here. The councilman will be making a decision to docket or not based on what's submitted, not what has been worked through, cleaned up, improved upon through the process we have. And so they'll be asked to make a decision on perhaps with less good information. I see that as a shortfall.
And I was going to piggyback that, actually. This is not an attempt to use your words against you, but you mentioned something about council being more cautious the second time around when they kind of figure out how this works. What is, let's say they don't get a real deep look at it because there's not going to be a big staff report, and let's say there's something that wasn't real obvious at the beginning. You know, like somebody wanting to put a strip club on Main Street, can't do it, you know. But what about something that's not quite so glaring that the city council wouldn't catch, but yet it's like, oh, that doesn't work for some sort of zoning thing or some, and they've gotten officially on the docket, it starts to come forward. Does that just get kicked out then?
Well, I think that at that point, the Planning Commission can take almost immediate preventative action and say, we're going to recommend denial of this application. You quit worrying about it. Okay. It's that glaringly obvious. You know, staff and the commission will work together and say, okay, we're done with this one. Let's set it aside. We'll work on the other seven or the other three and move it through the process.
Great. And
so that's the way I see it. And then back to history again. The East Monroe Project, I think, promulgated a lot of this in that, you know, the three times they applied, it never made it onto the docket. And, you know, and that was a 9-year delay that they had to encounter because they had to wait 3 years every time they wanted to resubmit the thing. And because of that, we ended up with 12 years or 11 years of debate over a proposal that never got a vote. And so I think this is kind of, some of this is, they want to be able to get things moved forward and get the politics. Yes, there's legislative input involved, but it takes the procrastination. You know, deliberative bodies can procrastinate too. And the Planning Commission did a great job of procrastinating on the East Monroe process because they didn't agree with it and made it so difficult and cumbersome that it never even got under the docket. So.
Well,
a lot of analysis was done.
Yeah, Steve. I don't know if we do all that analysis. I know staff does a lot of analysis. As far as our recommendations, yeah, there was recommendations against it, but then City Council, as they did, can docket it. And I believe it was City Council that chose not to docket it on those times. I don't think it was because they were out of time or because we took too long. I know I certainly was not intending to take long. If that is perceived as what was the... the intent of the Planning Commission. I can assure you that wasn't my intent, or I haven't heard of anybody else's intent to somehow interfere with the process, for sure. So, Commissioner? Bill?
Just a comment. The more I hear the discussion going on, the more the mud starts to clear up a little bit. But I think this once it goes to our discussion with City Council tomorrow, I think that question needs to be asked of them: is, you know, how much information do they need at that first public hearing from staff? And personally, I don't know if they need a whole lot of information, because they'll get that from the presenters at that public hearing as to what they need to hear. Now, staff can just, you know, like, all they need to say is, we got all the information, and it's a good application, and it's good to go that far. But I think what council needs to hear is going to be at that first public hearing. And I think, to me, that's what they need to answer. Is that good enough for you? Because I can't answer for City Council. But if I was on City Council, I would say, yeah, I think that's the place where it's going to kick off. And if I don't like what I hear at that public hearing, I'm not taking staff's input. I'm taking the presenter's input and making decisions. So that's just my personal feeling.
Yeah, as I thought of this over the weekend, when we have had the public hearing and then make a recommendation, I don't recall if City Council had their own public hearing. I think the public hearing was kind of done. And in some ways, I think there's a value for the City Council to have the public hearing. They're hearing it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And I think that eliminates some disconnect between the public hearing and the City Council. Personally, I'm not opposed to the revision, especially now that I understand the process a little more. Are there things that are, is the process being diminished in some way? Possibly. I tend to think highly of my fellow Planning Commission. I think we come up with some good reasons for things and discuss things that I hadn't thought of. That maybe City Council won't have access to because of that, but I think there's some value that's also added to the process by doing this, and exactly what you said, having the people come right to the council. So, quite frankly, I'm not opposed to it, and I'm not necessarily saying let's do it. I mean, it's not our decision anyway. Nobody's asking for our opinion. At least the council has it. I appreciate getting the information, and there was discussion about maybe going and speaking to the council about this. Quite frankly, I don't feel strong need myself to do that. I don't know. I'd let the other commissioners speak their mind, but I'm personally not that opposed to it.
I'll make one quick comment about public hearings on this current process. The commission held a formal public hearing in was it the 23rd of April? But the council did hold an additional public hearing because there was a length of time between the commission's hearing and the first reading by the City Council, where some changes were made to the text of the comp. And those changes were never considered in a public hearing. And they were not part of the process. So the council held an additional public hearing to cover the bases and be sure that it addressed all of the changes, not just 90%. So that was a little bit different than normal. Normally the council does not hold a public hearing.
Dave?
But they always have the right to if they want.
Certainly.
When it comes to them for a final action.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key point that we've got that ability.
And that's when, right after you folks had your final public hearing, a lot of your comment was changes were made pretty close to the finish line. didn't have enough time, so council actually had a public hearing on the changes at the very beginning. And then the second public hearing resulted, all the changes weren't perfected. So we made some minor tweaks to it to make it correct. And that's when that second, I think on June 19th, that public hearing took place.
Jeff?
I have a question for staff here. Do you see this process, from your perspective, as being less cumbersome, redundant, overwhelming than the prior process in regards to your efficiencies?
I'll say yes.
I'm going to reserve judgment because I haven't gone through it enough to be versant on just what the changes mean. I'm not trying to dodge the question. My sense is that it does not improve the public participation aspect, but I'm more concerned about the schedule in terms of trying to balance the available staff resources, the people that we have, and the amount of work to be done in this time schedule. And I'm all for targets and schedules. We all work better under deadlines. And there is a clause in here that refers to modifying the schedule depending on the number of amendments received and so forth. But we are bare bones in terms of staff. And I'm not sure if this will effectively reduce staff time. I think it may reduce some of the steps, but is there a consequence to that where things don't get considered as much as they possibly could early in the process? I'm not real clear on how we're going to get it through the docketing process and with the council, and the council having enough information to make intelligent decisions about what to docket and what not to move forward. So.
Jeff, for me, it seems a lot more logical in that if I'm assisting with a staff report under this process, I'm actually working on something that's going to come to a yes or no, up or down vote by the council. Under the previous process, staff might put in an enormous amount of time on a process only to have it not enter into the docket by council. And then once the docket's established, staff has to go through and do a whole another set of staff reports for those projects that are actually on the docket. So I think if, depending on the application load, it could be more or less, but the staff reports that are actually written are on projects that are going to go in front of council for a vote. And for me, that just makes sense.
Well, in a sense, we eliminate the Department of Redundancy Department.
Yes.
Dave?
I'm glad you brought that up, Jim, because it made me think back to earlier this last cycle when we had docketing requests come to us and there were no staff reports. And I had an issue with that. And I said, I wanted the benefit of staff's professional perspective as planners as to whether the application actually met the legal requirements of an item to be considered for docketing. I didn't feel that was a layperson's job to do. The decision, yes, but not to base the decision solely on their own knowledge, but rather to have the advantage of the knowledge of the professionals that work for the city. To look at that complete application and say, you know, there are 5 points for criteria, right? 5 criteria for docketing. Yes, in fact, they do meet all 5, rather than they just put 2 cents of gobbledygook in. Now, if it was gobbledygook, maybe I could identify that myself. But if we're somewhere in between being good, sound, logical validation for why it should be docketed versus junk, I may have a hard time with it. And the request I had was, staff, I want to know that you looked at this and that you can at least say, yes, they have, from our perspective, met these criteria. And I would think that the council would want to have the same thing. And that would be a suggestion I would have
for council in looking at this.
And that's a question I think we need to ask council tomorrow night when we get to that section, is what do they need? Now, one of the, not to bring my personal experience into it, but I remember being on the county council when there was a controversial docket application in, and I was in a very intense debate personally. I was with the planner that was working as staff for the county executive, and their worldview and their opinion of that docket request was 180 degrees in opposition of what I was as the decision maker. And I was blamed for being political, but they were the professional planner. And they were making as much of a worldview opinion on their staff report as I was as a politician making the decision. So for me, this is satisfying because it really puts it back in the arena where it belongs. The applicant has to defend their application, present it to the legislative body. If the legislative body deems it adequate, it moves forward to a full analysis. If the legislative body doesn't, then nobody has to spin their wheels analyzing something that doesn't make sense.
And I appreciate that. If the legislative body says no, what's the appeal process that the applicant has?
Next year.
That's the only recourse.
There is one place in your SI that's appealable to the hearing examiner.
I was trying to find that. But was that for the document or was that for later on?
I think it was later on.
Yeah, there is an appeal process for the final action on the amendment. That actually goes to the state hearings board. That's not a local appeal. But I don't know that there is an appeal, that there isn't an appeal process for missing the docket, not being approved of the docket.
Okay. It has to do with the 3-year resubmit. This is where the hearing examiner will get involved. If everybody says it hasn't changed substantially enough, then the hearing, you can appeal that decision to the hearing examiner. The hearing examiner can decide whether or not to allow a repeat to come back into the process before the 3-year window expires.
What page is that on?
It's on the bottom of page 6 or page 6 of 11 in the strikeout version. It's about halfway down. So if somebody makes an application, the director deems it repetitive and denies the application, that can be appealed to the hearing examiner.
What would happen to the process in that sort of case? I mean,
it's a good question.
This is going to have to take place in August, probably. The staff's going to determine that that's within 3 years. You can't do it. It's not substantive. The applicant's going to say, I want to appeal it to the hearing examiner, and yet the county council, the city council, rather, is going to be hearing this later in August.
I think from a legislative point of view, council can put anything on the docket at any time. So I would imagine that if it gets appealed to the hearing examiner and the hearing examiner overturns the director's decision, then council would just have to initiate that as a request and place it on the docket in September or October, wherever the process has moved to.
Yeah, I believe that submittal would have some vested rights, which is the purpose of the appeal, is to restore those rights and bring that project forward.
And here again, the council could then say no at that point, too. They wouldn't necessarily have to put it. This would just be a determination of whether that repetitive one is complete enough to be voted onto the docket.
I don't want to speak. You got more to say?
I was just going to say, when I first heard about this and saw this, I thought, no way. What in the world here? We're shortchanging the public process. Participation opportunities are going away. It just didn't make sense. But as I heard over here, as I talk about it more tonight, I don't have much of a problem with it. As long as some of the issues or concerns that we've raised are at least looked at by council. And I think that's what's being asked for tonight. It's just what are those concerns and and the council to look at that when they talk about it tomorrow night. I do think that the, and again, this is the council's domain, but the language on the resolution as to why we're doing this, to me, doesn't make any sense at all. I don't see how this is stimulating economic development. Let's call it what it is. Perhaps it's to facilitate the docking process, the comp plan amendment process. Let's just call it what it is. I think one would have a hard time telling me how it's going. This will stimulate economic development. I would pass that comment on as well if other commissioners agree with it.
Thank you. And that's where I was going to maybe go next. Just wondering, is there a need for an official statement from the planning commission, or do we want to? I don't feel for myself. We're able to all attend because notice has been made. Is there going to be an opportunity for the public to make comments to city council?
Discretion of the mayor, but I'm sure that if anyone wanted to make some comments, they'd be welcome to speak. I don't know that based on the discussion, we take a formal response or formal recommendation. If we're able in some way to put together some of these basic points to present to council and discuss these tomorrow night. That's the least we can do, but I don't know that it needs to be formally packaged by the commission itself.
And I have a feeling that there would be very little that we would all 100% agree on anyway, which is okay, which is all right.
But we'll gather all of these points and
make some felt this way, some felt that.
I mean, we'll make a list and check it for us.
Yeah, but I don't know if anybody, I don't have a strong desire to make a big issue with this with city council. I may attend the meeting just to see where things go, and if I were to make a comment, which at this point I don't know if I necessarily would it be at the beginning when it's just comments from citizens, or are they going to set aside a time during that discussion for comments from citizens?
I think it would be most appropriate at the time the item is being considered, which is toward the end of the meeting.
So they will open it up then for comments?
No. No. They may ask a question and staff can encourage them to ask. Now, if them, okay. One of you guys are there and have something to say, we can direct.
Yeah. I'll say mayor's discretion, but if the commission wanted to speak, I'm sure that you'd have an opportunity to speak. Since we did do the notice, we don't have to limit you to just three of you if any of you decide to do
right. It. And I appreciate that. Commissioners, are you comfortable with that approach?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you very much. Any other comments or questions on this item?
So is Paul going to formulate a list then of the concerns that we have, or
with some help from Kent?
Well, I didn't know we were going to formulate, because we're not going to have time to put one together this week, are we? I mean, tonight.
Not tonight here, but tomorrow.
Is Brad presenting this to council, or are you tomorrow night?
It's Brad. We'll go back through and pull the main points out of the. Hopefully, it's recorded. Pull the main points out and try and summarize those in a brief list of bullet points.
So you would have some things that were discussed on the planning commission that they haven't had a chance to review this, but this is what they. Discuss.
This will be some new information. Or some new
sort of informal minutes of our meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Bill?
I have one more question on Jeff. Jeff, you said, was there a more, I'm going to say more better because that's a Chicago term. Is there a better version of this? You said this was the red line version and it wasn't.
You should have your clear text version where the red line strike ups.
Oh,
removed. It was modified, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll read that one.
Attachment 2.
Same thing.
Sometimes it's easier to read. Did not see what
you're talking about. Okay. Thank you. That's where my confusion was, just going strictly on the red line.
If I could just review the four items that I heard you folks talk about, is number one, is to stimulate economic development or is it to create a more efficient process, I think is the gist of that finding. The August, how much info does the council need to make that decision, and who did they get it from? Completeness, how do we determine completeness? Is just simply an application is made by the end of July. That's good. We'll work with them through the completeness portion of it up until the council meeting, or we need to change that. And then if the hearing examiner overturns a staff decision to deny an application, how do we on-ramp that back into the process? So those are the four items that I really heard friction about tonight for concerns, for clarity.
I'm guessing there's probably more.
I think there's more. I made some other notes, and we'll go back through the tape and pull any anything that we think should go forward.
And I would encourage
any of the main points of discussion.
Anyone that
that's a good beginning.
Anyone that's concerned, the planning commission with discussion that we had today being portrayed can always go to the meeting.
And hopefully you are welcome to send us your thoughts ASAP tomorrow.
Excellent.
Or tonight. Still early.
Thank you. I think Jeff has summarized my concerns pretty well. Thank you.
Anything else on this one that I can share? Great. So I believe we have possible commission amendments for the 2013 comprehensive plan docket. I'm not sure what that is.
Well, the question is whether there are amendments that should be considered in the eyes of the commission for next year for changing the comp plan, whether it be a specific land use issue or whether it be some portion of the text. The one that came to my mind as an example was amending the comp plan to add some narrative about gateway treatments or setting up a framework for triggering a gateway overlay district. That's, you know, that would be an example of a possibility. Any change in the zoning code should have some basis in the comp plan that sets that in motion. We don't go out and create an overlay zone for horse rendering plants. If we set so in the comp plan, yes, we would do that. But then in the issue of gateway zoning, you know, that's a possibility. But then I also wonder if that's something that could not, certainly could, whether it should be just included in the 2015 update, which we're beginning, well, according to the books, we're beginning to just beginning that work this month. Start to gather data, do some review of the existing plan, and so forth. But that's on track for approval in late 2014. We have a new buildable land report coming out, I want to say this fall or early next winter, which would be the prime mover behind the growth projections for the company. That will be about a two-year process. So something like that could certainly be included in that process. But if there are issues that have come about in the past year or even last couple of years that have not been considered or have not been brought forth, now is the time to bring those up. I'm not aware of anything right off. I mean, in fact, I handed out copies of this map. This map is out of date. If, you know, a week from now, we may finally have an updated comp plan map. But for today's example, is the West Main corridor is not as shown on this plan. As you know, it's mixed use neighborhood to the east and mixed use commercial to the west. And I think there are a couple of other places where there are minor changes in what this map shows, but. Change the map or changes to the, if you have a heartache about some paragraph somewhere in the land use element, now's the time to bring it up.
Dave?
Well, I think your comment about the gateway is a very good one, given recent
developments. And not only in East Monroe, but also we talked about it in the West Monroe, which is being looked at currently. It's been talked about sometimes in the southwest corner of Monroe. But nowhere is it defined or expounded on or expanded on as to what it is and how it will be applied. And I think to wait to 2014, going into 2015 for that, when we know something needs to be addressed in some way, let's put it on. Let's suggest it. Especially since we don't appear to have anything else coming up in 2013.
Your fingers crossed.
Well,
here. Frankly, I keep my fingers crossed that there are no citizen initiatives coming. We're not prepared for it.
Jeff?
Something I've seen going on in the market that is very germane to what we're talking about here is that I think a lot of people thought it was going to be 5, 7, 10 years before anybody was even thinking about planning properties. And I just appraised a raw property that was proposed for a preliminary plat. And preliminary plats have started selling at prices at or above retail lot levels in the last 3 to 6 months. So it came around a lot faster than anybody expected it to. And I just think we should be prepared as a city to provide the opportunity for whatever is appropriate of that demand to land here in Monroe. And be forward thinking about it rather than reactive and miss the market, which is, it's already happening all over the place. It looks like 2005, 2006 down in South Mill Creek. You've never seen so much bare dirt in your life. Trees coming down, bulldozers, track hoes, there's just people running all over the place. And no one thought that was going to happen until 2015. And that's in a very weak economy. So I think that's another thing maybe we need to look at going forward is how will we accommodate our share of that and not be late to the party?
I took a flight the other day down to Puyallup, and between here and the Issaquah, I never saw so many new houses being built. I mean, not little houses, even big stuff. Mansions. I don't know who these people are, but
I was talking to this deputy administrator of Arlington, and most of the approved lots in Arlington they've come in and pulled all the permits for 1,800 square foot homes and resubmitted with 2,300 to 2,800 square foot homes. So, you know, but there's still a demand for the bigger home, with the yard, and if you look at the Northwest Illinois statistics, we're starting to get into a shortage situation. 2 months of inventory instead of 9, 12, 14 months of inventory like Dave's been living through for the last couple of years. So we do have a very large pre-op coming in this week for 149 lots to look at. So there's a lot of builder interest in mineral right now.
Jeff, in your discussion with Arlington, you talked about yards. Are they still doing really small lots, or are they seeing the market want to move toward a little larger lot again?
Larger lot.
What size?
Well, 6,000 to 8,000, okay, instead of the 3,000 to 4,500. So most of the lots in Arlington are east of Highway 9, kind of that TDR area.
Right.
So.
Go ahead.
With regard to your question, Paul, about 2013, I don't see anything that we would be looking at doing that would address Jeff's concern in the way of comp plan amendment. Am I missing something, or is there something that we could be or should be doing that would help in that regard? probably doesn't want to see these grow larger lots.
Well, the LBMRs are really falling out there. Those people don't want to grow houses in suburbia. It's okay for Seattle, but I don't think the market wants it. Would want those kind of lots anymore.
Yeah, and I think our four zone, which is where most of our vacant land is, gives us a fairly decent lot size, whether you go PRD or straight plat. And that is where we have the vacant land at. There is a fair bit of capacity up there.
Well, we have land in the urban growth area. We don't have very much land left necessarily. In the update, I'll give you a quick update about Roosevelt Ridge. That is the most significant single area to meet the demand for future housing, for raw land development. And there's quite a few lots out there on paper that have been starting to come back around again. I think those will be picked up and absorbed fairly quickly, maybe. And which may then, as things continue to pick up pace, it may bring about some reaction up in, some action up in Roosevelt Ridge, or perhaps even that. Well, there is a project coming in the Roosevelt Road area, you know, south of the right of way. We talked about that last time. But I get the sense too that things are, that there's a lot more interest. There's been more activity lately in pre-apps for various things. Just a general higher level of activity. And same with, there's been a steady trickle of building permits and so forth. There's been a constant steady trickle of inspection. You know, we're doing hundreds of inspections a month. But the general pace of things is improving. If someone's looking to buy a house, I think the sooner the better.
Dave?
I'm looking at the comp plan map here, and I realized you said it wasn't current, but I think this is accurate in regard to this. The Steve Harris property, the former Steve Harris property up there on Chain Lake Road, the little brown spot, dark brown spot
right
there, multifamily designated. But my recollection was that that was only to be at that density if there was either senior housing or assisted living built there. Otherwise, it was to revert back to the R4 zone. If I were to come in as a developer and look at this, I'd think, well, gee, I can do multifamily here, right?
Well, we had a conversation about that. Paul, him could probably answer better, but it was approved. The plat or the rezone was approved, but they never recorded. What was the document?
The development agreement was never recorded.
The development
zoning never took place, was never effective.
So
the zoning is moot. It's gone.
But if I came in for a rezone request tomorrow based on the comp plan here, would the city be able to deny it?
You would have to record a development agreement against the property based on the ordinance that was adopted at the time by the council.
So that still stands?
It does still stand.
Well, okay. It does, but
there's legal interpretations.
Based on interpretation, the comp plan makes some inference to the assisted living or
retirement.
or single family homes, and I think one other specific use. The zoning actually conditioned the property to those, so it was a legal encumbrance on how that zoning was to be applied and what could be built. But there is also legal interpretation that says that the council may have the authority to revise that comp plan language if it's found to be inappropriately done. And that is legal language, but there's a possibility that comp plan could change.
Is that something this commission should be looking at or asking to look at?
Well, there are three lots there. The middle lot has been purchased. I believe it's 3 acres that allow it. And there's the lot to the north and the south, which are both owned by Whidbey Island Bank. The bank has no interest in selling that property at this point because the purchaser tried to assemble all three. But if there is a rezoning to take place, then the staff would bring in the other two properties to rezone those properties. But like I said, it is zoned R4 right now. And the question comes down to whether that property is entitled for a multifamily apartment or condos. And I'm not 100% clear on whether the comp plan would prevent that. There may be a possibility that it may not preclude the possibility of building multifamily.
Certainly the record would show that was the intent, that what was adopted for when the recommendation went out from the Planning Commission, that density would only be achieved through those means. I would just think that if someone would come in and get a rezone application for multifamily up there at this point, and multifamily were built, it would say what happened here. I just wonder if isn't something there that should be fixed or needs to be fixed before it becomes a problem.
And there was actually a finding by the council in the ordinance, the implementing ordinance for that designation, that restricted it to residential or the higher density multifamily with a concomitant development agreement that restricted the use of the property.
To an alpha. Yeah.
And so because that finding is still in the ordinance, and the ordinance is still legitimately active, the rezone has not been formally approved because the development agreement was never recorded. It's all kind of, it's a limbo thing hanging out there. And two courses of action would be to find somebody that wants to proceed with the development agreement and just finalize the ordinance, or go through the process of unbundling that legislative process and creating an opportunity for it to develop in another way.
Right, because if the current owner filed the development agreement, which he could do from a couple of years back, then that owner would be bound by those conditions allowing only assisted living or single family, or it may have been some kind of, not group home, but another residential use. And that would be conditioned, and that would be all that would be permitted. The alternative would be to rezone the property to multifamily, which may be supported by the comp plan in the strictest legal sense. But that needs to be vetted.
Well, I would hope that there'd be some clarity sought on that sooner than later.
Yeah. Right. So, I've actually been looking at that. It's on the plate.
I got a question. Thank you, Dave. On the sign code. Wasn't there some discussion? You were pulling a group together, and I was curious where that was at.
You guys will be seeing it in the interim. While we're doing staff reports for comprehensive plan, you'll probably be looking at that.
Getting some
August, September time frame.
Okay.
We basically put on the back burner until after July 10th, and we got past the comp plan amendments.
Sure.
Free up a little more time.
So that'll give us some items to review.
And where we're at is the committee got together. It was Dick Steimert, Nolan Bartleheimer, Paul, and Mark Landkammer from the planning department, and myself just got together, and we identified issues. And there's about 10 or 12 issues in the sign code that need resolution. And the problem is it's great, it's easy, I think, to come up with the issues, but to refine them down into ordinance language and actually put them into the zoning code, that's kind of where we're at right now. We've identified the changes that need to be made, but we haven't perfected the wording. And so that will be forthcoming.
Great.
Commissioners, Jeff?
Are we going to be facing a test of the zones of First Airfield in regards to the potential for the skating rink, or is that thing
That's being considered as we speak, and the latest information, I guess, would be that the issue with the zoning code is one of not use, but of density. There are limitations on what uses are allowed, and actually, in the fine line of the zoning code, that this ice arena isn't allowed use. It's not prohibited. The issue becomes one of density.
Occupancy density.
Ranging from a low of 60 people per acre to 100 people per acre, then there's a small area, zone 6, which is unlimited. For example, it's at 7 acres. If it were all in zone 3, which is 100 people per acre density, you could assemble 700 people in one place. And, you know, when you factor in the zone 6 and try and average out the other areas and push it as far west as possible, it may be that it could accommodate a 1,000-seat arena. The client has had considerations for either could be a 500-seat, could be a 1,000-seat, which would be a higher level of hockey, or a 3,000-seat arena would take a single A hockey team or a double A hockey team.
Tier one,
that's the word. I don't know that a 3,000-seat arena could be accommodated in that property physically, much less under the restrictions of the airport. But a 1,000-seat arena might be doable.
And it's funny you bring that up, because the zoning overlay on safety zones was interesting. The map is in the comp plan, but there's no text that refers to the map. It's kind of this lingering map in the comp plan. And that's going to be a fix that we're going to initiate from the city side. Particularly the map, what Brad actually took the GIS descriptions and overlaid it on actual property, and the entire overlay is canted to the north, and it's improperly shown on the map. So we're going to get that map fixed. And so I turned it down, and the northwest corner of that property actually dropped into an unlimited zone, or zone 6. There's about 2-some acres up there in that corner. And so how do you average the density for an infinite number of people with 60 density in one part and 100 density? That's the process we're going through.
Comes an exercise in math.
Yeah.
And right now there's a very cooperative effort going on. We're going to be meeting with Daryl Hobbit as airport representative, and with the applicants and their consulting group, and talk about position of the building, how can we make it work, and talk about encouraging their activities.
Is there anything else? We'll move on to, we were in discussion by commissioners.
Yes, that is.
I'll go down the line. Staff, anything else in general?
A few quick updates. In terms of pre-apps, Jeff mentioned one that we had Wednesday, which is up in the Chain Lake Central area, 35 acres. It's owned by Union Bank, 149 lots, 150 lots. They're coming in Wednesday for a pre-app. We had a pre-app last week with a representative from Westcott Homes for that entire area up there. Right? They're looking to perhaps cherry-pick some properties up there for that potential for development. Also this week, Western Heritage Museum is coming in. They have found another location for an expanded museum up by the airport there. Next Corps was in, was that 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
For a pre-app. They are planning to submit building plans of about 43,000 square feet, and they're targeting to break ground in November, so we're expecting plans sometime next month.
See, they're adding the paper today, the Herald?
Yeah.
Full page announcement?
Yeah, they haven't come officially.
Two or three times.
Yeah. What else? The Wake Park went back. We had a pre-app with them, and we're expecting a submittal. Possibly. Well, they were planning on submitting this week, and now I guess there's some tweaks being made to the agreement, the lease agreement. So as soon as that's resolved, I think we'll see some plans coming in for that project. We talked about the ice arena. Roosevelt Bridge. I went to the county this morning for a meeting with the administrative committee of the council. They approved the Roosevelt Ridge annexation. So that vote, it means that it is not being sent to the Boundary Review Board. It will not invoke their authority. So we'll send a resolution to council next week and a call for election, and then we'll go to election in November.
And that's the one where only the homeowners up there get to vote.
Right. The homeowners will give it thumbs up or thumbs down. And that's that area that could keep bring us 600-800 lots, residential lots.
May I ask what the status of the Walmart appeal is?
Do you want to get the latest on that, Jeff?
Sure. Their brief, Fong's brief, was due May 10th or May 20th. On June, we were notified by the Court of Appeals that Fong's brief was not accepted. It was formatted improperly. Don't ask me. They've resubmitted. They're in the process of. Our reply brief is due on August 5th. Then Fong has the right to respond to our reply brief. I believe they get 20 days to do that. So towards the end of August, early September, the Court of Appeals will hear motions. I believe the city and Walmart are going to ask for a motion on the merits, basically a motion to dismiss. Whether or not the court accepts it, I don't know. Probably not. The court's calendar looks like we'll set an oral hearing date about 4 months out. So we'll be looking January, February. And typically you get a response from the Court of Appeals within 60 to 90 days after their oral hearing. So we're looking next April probably. Council did extend the purchase and sale agreement with North Kelsey LLC, Sabey, who's under contract with Walmart. So that's all. The process, the real estate contract is still valid.
Thank you.
Galaxy Theater is also under contract. The first phase of that for the leasehold property, not the gravel pad in the northwest corner, but the actual paved portion will close on August 5th. And that's proceeding according to plan. And the small pad in the back will close on or before October 5th.
To a different buyer?
The buyer is actually Beta Kelsey Group. It's the Beta Commercial Real Estate Group. They own the Kelsey Road Station, where Blue Mongolian is. They own that building, and they'll be the third buyer. One other item, too, that I wanted to bring up is there's the council and mayor. I've been asked by the council members, we're going to be looking at school mitigation fees. As I'm finding with all things Monroe, there's complications with the comprehensive plan when it comes to changing the discount. The school district has said they would be willing to accept a 50% discount on full fee. We're currently only giving builders a 25% discount. And so we're working through that snake, trying to figure out, can we, by ordinance, change the mitigation fees, or do we have to dial into the comprehensive plan and fix that? And so more to follow, more to come on that.
Great, thank you. Bridget, Lenny? Wayne?
The Galaxy Theater thing, I was on the council when we did that, and we thought it was going to be the greatest thing in the world to have all this money come in forever, but I see it's not going to be there forever now. One of the things that we were talking about when Galaxy gave up the theater, it was going to be City Hall, and that's what we kind of hoped for, but it's not, I guess.
I've seen the plans. I like what I see.
Bill, anything?
No.
Jack?
No.
Dave?
Just based on early discussions, you know, I won't be here tomorrow night. I can go to a different meeting than ever. So, those of you who come, enjoy it.
Great. Well, the only thing I was thinking, Bill, you still on the Parks Board?
Yes.
I should probably just call Mike, but...
One
thing
I
permanent assignment, isn't it? Yeah, probably is. I'm a beekeeper. I have bees, and I'm just a stone's throw from the industrial area. There's a trail there with a ton of blackbirds.
Yeah.
And 11 months out of the year, my bees don't even reside on those. But the month that they're blooming,
yeah,
the Parks Department decided they were going to spray. A lot of my bees just got sprayed with poison. I was like, couldn't you have done it in one of the other months? But anyway, I don't know if they have a schedule, if they can notify. I can get put on the list. Hey, we're going to spray this week or something. I did send him an email asking him that earlier in the spring, and he never replied. I thought, hey, do you guys...
Where was this at?
Well, it was along the trail between the residential area of Frylands and the industrial park. I mean...
You can lock your bees up
there? I can lock them up for a day. If I know where they're going to spray, I'll just close them in for a day and then let them back out.
Yeah.
Anyway, just a thought.
Yeah. Okay.
They'll be okay. Don't get through it.
If you sent them an email, I mentioned it, and you probably said, yeah, I got it.
Well, it was right when the change was changed. You know, make that thing in place. That was all I had.
Could I have one more thing, too? Just talk of interest. We have a new tenant in the Surf Tonkin building, North Natural Factors. They're a vitamin manufacturer. They're remodeling the building right now.
I'm sorry, where's that at?
Kitty corner from Sockeyes. Corner.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
131,000 square foot building. But they all their product is certified organic that goes into their vitamins and that sort of thing. They have actually approached Dave Remner to the west of Lake Tai, or I believe they're under contract to purchase 60 acres of farmland that they're going to plant into organic garden that's out there. So your bee conversation brought that up. And part of what they sell lifestyle is what they do. They sell a feeling of good health. And part of their sales pitch is to have an electric car that they throw their big customer, the CEO of Costco, in, you know, and run out to the organic garden and show them your product. This is what this little thing looks like. This is what this looks like. And but Kelowna, BC, they did a similar situation. They bought all the farmland surrounding. So it's kind of interesting to see a industrial product manufacturer, you know, they're manufacturing vitamin pills, to start to utilize, you know, the agricultural ground in a different way. So I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing out there.
That's a CERT building?
The CERT Tonkin building, correct. Yeah. Okay. It closed on May 24th, I believe. So, $600 million.
I know one more that I remember.
Yeah.
Another preempt. White Noses is moving to a larger building and a more intact building. They have some problem leaks, but a larger space. They're doing incredibly good business.
That's a brand new building there.
Pardon me?
That's a new building there, isn't it?
A newer building. I think it's maybe 4 or 5 years old.
I think they were the first tenant, isn't it?
They have a contract with Sam's Club. Sure. They plan to move, I think, this fall after they finish this Sam's Club obligation. But that will take them 22 days, 24/7 shifts to fill that order. That gives you some idea of how many millions of biscuits Sam's Club is taking. So we're doing very well.
Where are they moving?
167.
Okay.
So a large building there.
Good
used
one.
To be
the Spam Alaska
building. Oh, yeah. They looked in other places and didn't find space. They wanted to stay in Monroe, and they are staying here. So yay. Great news.
Dave?
I just had one other thing that came to mind. In light of Providence, anticipated the move, and vacating their current building, which I understand is about half of what they're going to build, so about 20,000 some odd square feet. Should the city be looking at any concerns in that area? I mean, just to check on the comp plan now, zone looks like professional office.
Right.
That's our only professional office.
consider, well, if we wanted to, if we were to change, the change would want to be probably for that entire district, but if anything else, it might go to something like mixed use. But that has been a, you know, medical office related, I don't know what it might change to that would have that kind of merit for that scale of a district.
I heard mention of one possibility for that building that it might be become an assisted living facility. Now, in a professional office zone, could that happen?
I don't know.
I think assisted living is a conditional use, but I don't know if it would require
we'll check, but I'm not sure if it's allowed in professional office.
It might be worth looking at, or maybe reaching out to the owners of the building and see if they want to look at it in there. The big building. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, anything else? So I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
We'll move.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Sherwood, seconded by Commissioner Christian. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Reggie, you were so quiet.